Candide is a show with a classy pedigree. Voltaire wrote the 1759 novella that became an operetta in 1956 with a libretto by Lillian Hellman and contributions from Dorothy Parker and Richard Wilbur, the noted poet, and of course, a gorgeous score by Leonard Bernstein. The overture is still a popular favorite, but the show itself lasted just 2 months on Broadway, yet the operetta has been revived many times over the years with Stephen Sondheim, Hugh Wheeler, John Mauchery, and Bernstein himself adding material. In this year of the Bernstein Centennial, the Los Angeles Opera has a new production of Candide. It's directed by Francesca Zambello, and it stars Christine Ebersole, the Tony-winning musical star, and in a dual role as Voltaire himself and Dr. Pangloss, Kelsey Grammer, the winner of Emmys and Golden Globes, best known still for embodying the role of Dr. Fraser Crane in Cheers and Frasier. Kelsey Grammer joins us from Los Angeles. Thanks so much for being with us.
It's a pleasure.
Why did you want to appear in this operetta or musical or whatever it is? There's some debate, as you know, that's still considered, even after 62 years, a kind of work in progress.
Well, I guess that's one of the reasons you try it. To be quite honest, about 8 months ago, I got a call from the famously charming Plácido Domingo, who basically said, "So we'd like you to be with us for this Candide." And I said, "Sure." So it was not particularly a complex set of reasons.
You don't say no to Plácido Domingo, do you?
You just don't. This is what I've been told the world over.
When Candide premiered in 1956, and because Lillian Hellman was such an important part of the creative team, it was considered a pointed denunciation of McCarthyism at the time.
Honestly, I think art's wonderful to make a political statement, but often I find you abrupt the real flow of the piece itself by trying so hard. You know, I mean, I think this piece originally was designed by Voltaire himself as a kind of a statement about Christianity versus philosophy or nihilism. Mm-hmm. But oddly enough, it's a great arguing point for a kind of a sense of faith about the world, if not fatalism, but at least, you know, by doing good and by living through whatever lens of virtue you decide to live by, life can work out okay. And so maybe even in spite of himself, Voltaire managed to say something that was very positive about the human experience and about our relationship with whatever you want to call the creator or not creator or whatever you want. You know, it's like I throw my hands up in the air. It's an entertaining evening.
You have a musical background, which maybe a lot of people didn't know. To you growing up, yeah.
Yeah. My mom and dad were musicians, and they didn't have a terrific marriage or a long-lived one, but I did play drums for my dad's band. And my mom continued to sing and appear in sort of local productions of different musicals and plays throughout my childhood. So I had a background in it, and I saw Hello, Dolly! When I was 8 years old on Broadway. And then when I was 14, a guy came to our school, Richard Mitten was his name, and he walked into every classroom the first day of school and said, "All the boys in here are going to come and sing for me. You're all going to be in the choir." And we all sort of laughed him out of the room, and then his determination gave, we all ended up in the choir. He was really something, and was instrumental in getting me, out of myself and onto the stage.
Mm. May I ask, when you say getting yourself out of yourself and onto the stage, what was going on in your life?
I was just particularly shy. Well, because, you know, I didn't know my dad. My dad got killed, and my grandfather who raised me died when I was 12. And so I didn't have any male figures in my life, and I was busy at home kind of looking after my grandmother, mother, and my sister. And I was busy and shy, you know, and going through puberty. It's a whole bunch of stuff that happens.
Boy, that's a triple whammy, isn't it?
Yeah, you know. So I had some obstacles.
Yeah.
And these were great days when Richard came into my life and helped me, come out of that world and start to perform and stuff. It was a great gift. And it was followed by another gentleman named Ron Krikak, and he was the acting end of it. And so another year or two later, he came to school and said, "You're going to be in a play," which ironically was Lillian Hellman's Little Foxes.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
And may I ask, were they around long enough to know how successful you became?
Yeah, Ron's still alive. Ron's still alive. And Diana Spradling is the gal that gave me voice lessons. She gave them to me for free because she believed in my voice.
Oh.
And she actually thought I might be an opera singer. And I said, well, Diana, that is a really, really tough row to hoe. Thinking that somehow the acting career was a much easier option.
Yeah.
So, but I still think that was the right choice.
I'd like to ask you about Pangloss. He is a famous optimist with that mm-hmm. credo, all is for the best in this best,
best of all possible worlds. Yeah.
Yeah. You have... you've enjoyed a lot of success, but you have known a lot of sadness in your life.
Sure.
Death of people close to you, divorce, personal problems. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about what Dr. Pangloss says?
Well, I'm sort of with him in a funny way, but I guess only an optimist could say such a thing. The end game is quitting, and that's not an option because... you have to quit eventually anyway, and that's not in our hands. So I'd rather not do it unless I have to. So I stick around, and I love my life here. I haven't loved the days of pain, but I've loved the moments when I felt I was climbing out of it. There's a great sense of rejoicing in that and a great sense of peace.
Kelsey Grammer, he stars with Christine Ebersole in the Los Angeles Opera production of Candide. Thanks so much for being with us.
It's been my pleasure.
And tomorrow on Weekend Edition, Sunday with Lulu, A Missed Connection. You don't want to miss. We reunite two Girl Scouts, one saved the other after a lightning strike. You can listen tomorrow morning by asking your smart speaker to play NPR or your station by name, WBEZ, WBUR, WBHM, whatever.